The thought that the Lord has given me for this time and this is hold fast. And we want to take time and sing a little bit of the song 252.
Hold fast to the Savior he loves you still.
Hold fast to the promise he will fulfill. Hold fast, ever trusting you shall receive. Hold fast, do not waver, his word believe.
Hold fast,
hold fast.
I was thinking about this. Hold fast. If you listen to all those verses, it gives you what to hold fast to. And I was thinking how that many people start out. They have good intentions. They say, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to live for God. But somewhere along the way, they fall by the wayside. And so we need to think about what is it going to take for me to hold fast to the Lord. You know the Lord will hold to us, but he will not make us do anything against our will. He will hold us if we hold him. But if we turn him loose, he lets us go. And so we don't want to do that. We want to hold fast. I have a couple of scriptures I'm going to read to you first. And Revelations 2 and 25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. This is what the Lord said. What do you have? If you have salvation, hold it fast till I come. And you know, you don't want to let something cause you to turn your grip away. You know, when you're holding something real tight, you know, something can distract you. Something can cause you to let go, but we don't want to let go. We want to hold fast. He says, hold fast till I come. We need to hold fast till the Lord comes, whether it's come for the whole world or whether it comes for us as individuals. Hold fast. When you give your heart to the Lord, make a determination in your heart, I'm going to hold fast to him, and I'm not going to let go. The other scripture is Revelations 3 and 11. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Do you know something? Sometimes, if we're not careful, somebody can cause us to lose our crown. You know, we got a crown. When we hold fast, we're going to get a crown. But, you know, sometimes it can be friends that make you turn loose. Sometimes it could be family. But whatever it is, or sometimes it's because you don't get a, you have a, your ground of your heart wasn't broken up enough that the seeds could grow. And we want to look at Mark 4 and read verses 3 through 6. I want somebody to get that. Because the word of God comes in our heart, if the seed has been planted, but what kind of ground do we have? Do we have a good, solid, tender ground where that seed can grow? There are cases in this scripture that shows the ground was a certain way and the person received the seed, but they didn't stay. They fell by the wayside or they turned loose of the Lord.
Mark 4 and 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had much earth. Yeah. And not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it until it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100.
So we want to have our heart tender toward the Lord. So when the seed of the word of God is sown in our heart, that it will bring forth good fruit. We don't want to fall by the wayside. Some withered away. We can start out real good and just wither away. Or some can just bring up for a while and then they don't have it. We have some seeds that the girls, Aaliyah, wants to plant. And I know, and the first thing she needs to have is some good soil, right? To plant that seed in. But if you just decide, you know what, I don't care what kind of soil, I just, some rocks, I got these rocks, I'll just put them there, put some water on it, see if it grows. And it might grow because of the water, but it won't last. And it will wither away. So we don't want to be like that. We want to be, when we start out for the Lord, we want to be so determined that we don't allow anything to hinder us. There's a song that says, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. And there are things that will hinder you if you're not careful. Okay, now somebody get 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that he may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Okay, so we're trying to think of how to hold fast. But one of the ways here is to keep our eyes on the goal. We don't want to run just any kind of way. We have the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to run, how to get to heaven. If we decide that, I know the Word of God says that, but I'm going to do it my way, it's like beating the air. He said, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. It's just, you know, like people do shadow boxing, you heard of that? That's useless. I mean, you know, you might get a little exercise out of it, but you're not going to get much. That's the same way. If you don't go God's way and you decide you're going to go my way. So it says, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. You know, your mind and your body may say, I'm going to do it this way. But it's no good if you do it your way. We must go God's way. And sometimes you might say, you know what, I don't even feel like reading the Bible. The devil will tell you, oh, it's boring. But you fight that. Keep your body under subjection. Because if you don't, Paul said, unless when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have to do that myself, no matter what. If the Lord says, puts a thought on my heart and it's 3:00 in the morning, I have to get up and I have to write it down. I can't say, oh, you know what, I think I'll sleep to 6 and I'll get up. No, I have to do it as God says do it. So we need to keep our bodies under subjection. Our bodies tell us one thing, and it will tell us opposite from the Lord, for what God wants. But we have to beat it down. Say, no, I'm going to do God's way and not what I think. So now let's go on. So we want to have a tight grip on the Lord. We don't want to just have a loose grip, that anything can cause us not to hold on to him, or anything can pry us out of God's hand. We don't want that. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
See, prove all things. We can prove it by the Word of God. If the Word of God says do it, we can do it. If the Word of God says don't do it, we should not do it. Prove all things, but hold fast. What does hold fast mean? You know what? You see this? If I half hold it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to drop, right? That's the way it is with the Lord. If I put a tight grip on it, It's not going anywhere, right? And that's the way it is with the Lord. We need to hold fast to what he wants us to do. And, you know, many times, you know, the flesh will say, I'm tired. Or it'll say, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. But we don't want to do that. We want to hold fast to the Lord. And that other scripture says, hold fast to that which thou hast. that no man take thy crown. When I was going to college one time, I met this girl and we were, you know, friendly and began to be friends, and she believed in smoking. So she, you know, said, offer me a cigarette, or try to encourage me to smoke. But I had my grip on the Lord and I said no. I let her know I'm a Christian. I don't do that. And do you know, I was able to get her, I believe, to go to church with me. Instead of her convincing me, I convinced her to go to church. Now, she didn't get saved, but at least she didn't anymore try to get me to smoke or any of those kind of things. You have to be firm. You're going to school next year. Tiana, you're going to be in high school. And they do those things in high school. But you have to be determined. I decided that I'm going to live for God, so I'm going to hold fast and not let anyone take my crown. Philippians 2:4-7.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Do you see what Jesus did? We want to have the mind of Christ. We have that same mind. He wasn't worried about establishing a reputation. In fact, he had a lot of problems with the Pharisees and Sadducees that tried to trip him up in his words. They tried to turn his mind away from or discredit him, but he didn't allow them to change him from the goal and from what he knew God had for him to do. So it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. These people resented him, saying that he was the Son of God and the King of the Jews and all of these things. They did not like it. And they tried to trip him up and they tried to hinder him, but he didn't allow it. Now, he could have been concerned about those people, his reputation. He could have wanted to try to establish a reputation. Sometimes we have this, it's human nature to want people to like us and maybe to have like a little, you know, I don't want to ruin my reputation with this. This is my friend, and I don't want them to look down on me. But you know what? We don't want to be like that. He did not establish a reputation, and let's not have that as our motivation to be to have a reputation and to make people even like us. We can be nice to people, and we can be kind and all that, but let's not go about that in a way that is going to hinder us from living for God. So maybe instead of trying to get a reputation, we need to try to make sure that what we do will count for God. You see, that's the thing that's going to last. Maybe in this life, we might get a good reputation. Maybe somebody, it could be our family. Sometimes families, you know, they have certain ways they do things. And if you are not doing it the way they want you to do, sometimes they don't like it. But we don't need to be like that. In Monarch, there was a brother from Germany that had been raised in a different church than the Church of God. And he found out that what the Bible teaches I guess maybe he was not used to living that way. So when God started working with him, he started to living like he was supposed to live, which is living free from sin. And as he began to see that, and the people that he was around, they were used to sin you must, sin you can't help, or something like that. So anyway, with him doing that, it caused a problem with his family. And his family didn't like it. And also that church. He ended up having to leave that church. But they didn't want, I think they didn't want him, because he was living a different life. And sometimes that happens. But we need to be willing, whatever it takes, to hold fast to the Lord and to live for him, regardless. Well, I want us to look at King Saul. King Saul started out, he was so humble that I think they said he kind of hid himself. But anyway, he was anointed king. Then God sent him on a mission. And I want us to read the 1 Samuel 15, 14 to 17. But because he was more concerned with what the people said, or his reputation, so to speak, he was more concerned about that than obeying the Lord. He lost his kingship. He failed God, and he no longer could be king. So 1 Samuel 15, 14 to 17.
And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears?"
Okay, let me tell you the background of this. So God had sent him on a mission. He was to destroy the Amalekites. Everything. Not leave anything. The king, the children, the older, everything. But he didn't do it. And he's going to make excuses. And I want you to look at his excuse. So when he said, "Well, I've done the what the Lord said," Samuel was the prophet. He said, "Well, why did I hear this sheep?" You know, that's where we start on this.
And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen."
I want y'all to stop here. Look at the excuse he made. He said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best," listen to this, "of the sheep and oxen." The people spared it. Okay, he was the king. Do you think the people could do that without his approval? They wouldn't. So he's making an excuse. Okay, read on.
"The best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spill of oil and this evil in the sight of the Lord?'"
So he didn't. And as we read on, we find out that he tells him that because you didn't obey the Lord, then you will no longer, your kingdom is taken from you and given to somebody that's better than you. So what we want to look at is what caused him to fall. The people. He was thinking more of the people rather than God. And we don't want to do that. We don't want something that's going to make us turn loose our grip of God and go a different way. But those things can happen. So we need to be very careful. We also think of Solomon. Most of us may know that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. God gave him a choice. He was newly king over Israel after David. And he felt, God asked him, just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. I mean, that's what he told him. So he felt so, he said, he felt so unworthy to lead these people. And so he said, give me a wise and an understanding heart. That's what he asked the Lord. But the Lord, because he was so humble and because he didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for the lives of his enemies, he just asked for God to give him wisdom to guide these people. God gave him wisdom that passes any other person ever lived. He gave him riches, and he gave him other things that he could have got asked for. But he started out really good. But at the end of his life, near the end of his life, he did not please God. And so we want to read and see who did hinder him. What was the cause? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 1 and read 7 to 11. Something caused him to turn loose his grip. He might not have realized he had turned it loose, but he did.
2 Chronicles 1 and what?
7 to 11.
In that night did God appear unto Solomon, said to him, and what shall I give thee? And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established. But thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?
So that's his attitude, right? Now let's see what happened at the end. 1 Corinthians 10:1-7. 1 Kings, I'm sorry. So some people start out really good. They have hold to the Lord. And somewhere along the line, they lose their grip. And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to allow anything or anybody cause us to lose our tight grip on the Lord.
And when the queen of Sheba came, heard of the name of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said unto the king, it was a true report that I heard to my own land, to thy acts and of thy wisdom. How far you open the door?
To 7.
And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard of my land. And howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard.
So this is just showing how great a wisdom. I mean, she asked him all these questions. He could answer all these questions. He was so, no one could, even, it was so amazing. She just like was awestricken to where she couldn't, no strength left in her. I mean, it's like, this is more than I can take in. The half has never yet been told. I hadn't been told. But now we want to see the end of him. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4.
But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon played unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart of, as was the heart of David his father.
Do you see what happened? He loved so many, all these women, and they turned his heart away from God. 700, who needs 700 wives? Let's see, how many days is it in a year? I think it'd take almost 2 years just to visit his wife one time in 2 years, right? And then how many concubines? 300 on top of that. That's like girlfriends on the side. But they turned his heart away from God. And he started worshiping idol gods. I'm telling you, we don't need to let people or other things to turn our heart away from God. So he started out really good. God gave him so much. He gave him all of this wisdom. You would think that would be enough, right? All the wisdom, all the riches. He had, his household was so great. Everything was so amazing. But then, in the end, he was in a bad way. I don't feel that he actually made it to heaven because he began to worship other gods. Now, there's another example. We won't read it, but Samson. Samson was strong. He was so strong, he could take up the, I think it's the gates of the city and just take them on his shoulder. He was so strong. God sent him on a mission, and his mission was to destroy the Philistine, to fight against them. But you know, he had, he loved this lady named Delilah. She wanted to know where his strength was. He was not to cut his hair. That was his charge from a child, and he would have had his strength. But she kept, you know, talking to him. You don't love me. And he finally, you tell me he'd make up something. If you do this, I won't have any strength. And she would do it, and then he would just break out and like, okay, for instance, tie ropes around, whatever. But they couldn't. He didn't give her the secret to his strength. And then finally, she got to him. and he told her all his heart, and she made him go to sleep, or he went to sleep, and they cut his hair. And so when he woke up, she said, "Wake up, Samson, the Philistine's on you." When he woke up, he said, "Oh, you know, like, I can take care of it as usual," but he couldn't. So he had lost his strength. And then in the end, he did get destroyed more in his death than in his life. But he died blind because they put out his eyes. And he died with the very people that God had sent him to conquer. So we don't want to let anything cause us to turn loose God. If we're doing good, it's because of God. I know personally that my strength comes from God. But if I let something turn my mind away from God, my strength will be gone. And so we don't want to do that. So let's go on now. Galatians 5 and 7.
Then, brother, we did enter you that ye should not obey the truth.
You did run well. You were doing fine. But who did hinder you? You can start out doing really good, but we can let things hinder us from going on with the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 23. So we don't want to let disappointments, things maybe somebody said, and now I'm so, you know, somebody mentioned in Mana about, it's like people, somebody hurt them. Somebody hurt me. Somebody didn't do right to me. So I'm going to give up the Lord. Does that make sense? God didn't do anything to him. It was someone else. But they gave up the Lord because someone else hurt their feelings. We don't want to let that happen. Hebrews 10, 23.
Let us hold fast the profession for our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. No matter what, we're going to hold fast. And let's read one more scripture. 2 Timothy 1 and 13.
1 and 13 says, 2 Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Hold fast. When somebody has taught you right, according to the scriptures, hold fast to that. You don't hold fast to just anything, but it says sound words. We know it is solid and it is sound if it comes from the word of God. Pray for me.